From the books of Galatians and Ephesians this morning, we read our lesson, and I'm just going to read through all of it because I want you to hear it, and I want you to pay attention to it. Chapter 5 of Galatians, beginning at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then from chapter 6, we read verses 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then from Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 14 through 20. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, you are not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for the hearing and reading of His precious and His eternal Word this morning. We celebrate today Memorial Day and Pentecost Sunday all at the same time. It doesn't very often happen that that happens on the same Sunday. And I didn't want to neglect either one of them. I didn't want to neglect the facts of our freedom and who we are and how we got here. I didn't want to neglect the fact that we've been for weeks now talking about the Holy Ghost and God's Spirit within us. And I suddenly realized that the two need not be separate, but they can be one. Everybody has an idea of what America needs. My idea is that America needs a Pentecostal experience. Now, I didn't say everybody in America needed to belong to the Pentecostal church. That's not true, and I don't believe it. But what I do believe is that America is the greatest country that ever was and ever has been. We're the freest people that have ever lived, anytime, any place. We're the most blessed people that have ever been. We've had more to eat, more to wear, more luxuries, more of everything than anyone on earth has had. And ever since this country started, Satan's been picking at it, just like buzzards picking at a corpse. They've been picking at America to try to tear it apart and to try to do it. And brave men and women have stood up through the years and fought for the freedom and the unity of our country. This used to be called Decoration Day, and it began at the end of the Civil War. Now, it began in the South, and it began in the North. It began in the South by freed slaves who wanted to honor the graves of men who had come to the South to fight for their freedom. And they went out and cleaned and decorated the graves, which their families could not in those days very well do because they were in the North and these people were dead in the South and there wasn't much way to travel back and forth. So the first Decoration Day was held by the freedom people in the South, the black people who had been freed, and to celebrate their freedom, honored those who had fought for their freedom. It began in the North by the people going out to the cemeteries and decorating the graves of the Union soldiers. It wasn't long before the whole idea caught on that we would decorate the graves of all of our people. By the 20th century, it was an established custom. On the 30th day of May, it's been changed by the federal government to the last Monday in May, so it falls on different times now, but it used to be on the 30th of May, always they went out and decorated the graves whenever it was. Finally, it became a federal holiday, and we memorialized those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, and people scrub the stones, decorate the graves, fix them up, and prepare them for the summertime. And at one time it was on May the 1st, but it came to be at the end of May. Nowadays it's become a holiday that does not resemble anything at all about that. Some of the families down in West Virginia still celebrate it the old way. Ward's mother, my son-in-law's mother, comes from McDowell County, up above Bradshaw on the mountain, and above Jolo, like you're going over to Jewel Ridge. They still go, and families gather at the cemeteries on Decoration Day, clean up the cemeteries, clean up the graves, clean the stones, put in the flowers. They do more than that. All the family gets to meet together, and it's a family reunion for the community and for the families. I think that's a good thing, by the way. And they have dinner on the ground. They put out the spreads on the ground down there at the cemeteries, and they eat, and they share refreshments, and they enjoy not only remembering those gone on, but they enjoy renewing acquaintance with people who are there. I think that's a great custom. It's still literally a decoration day. And here, if you'll notice, it's so popular that Walmart puts in a whole section of grave decorating stuff at this time of year. Nothing wrong with that. It's a great thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to do. And we don't want to come here today and forget that we are here and we're free to be here because other people paid the ultimate price. We also are here today celebrating with Christians all over the world the advent of the Holy Spirit coming into the Church of the Living God, which is the birthday of the church. And I'm sad to say that as we do this, there are Christians everywhere, particularly Pentecostal Christians, who've never got beyond the second chapter of Acts. As wonderful as the day of Pentecost was, and how can I de-emphasize the sound of a mighty rushing wind? How can I de-emphasize a flaming fire in the midst of them that lit on their heads? How can I de-emphasize the fact that the Spirit fell in each of those 120 who were at that prayer meeting, and they all spake with other languages and literally preached and prophesied in other languages, and other people by the hundreds of thousands really heard them, and within that day, that one day, there were 3,000 souls added to the Christian church who were baptized and brought into the church on that day. I can't de-emphasize that in any way. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. It's great. But I have to tell you, you can't live in Acts chapter 2. You're going to have to live in Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and all of those places. You're going to have to move on. You see, that was a once in a historical time. That didn't happen but one time. One time the sound of the mighty rushing wind came. One time the fire came, and one time they preached to those thousands. From then on, it was practiced among the groups of people who called themselves Christians. You see, it became a lifestyle. Living in the Spirit became a lifestyle. And we listen to the apostles talk. They talk about walking in the Spirit. They talk about being led by the Spirit. And 60 years later or so, Paul is telling the church, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunken with wine. Don't be addicted to other things. Be filled with the Spirit. This is the word that comes down. And I know there's a feeling that everybody that's saved has a Spirit in them. It's true. You couldn't be saved without the Spirit of God. It's impossible. No man could come to God except the Spirit draw him. Somebody named Jesus said that. And that's an important thing. But the thing of it is, my friends, not only does the Spirit draw you and come to you, but it's possible for you to be filled with the Spirit. Now, your goal is not so much any particular one spiritual gift, although that's okay to pray for spiritual gifts. Your goal is what? To be filled with the Spirit. You should pray for the Holy Spirit to be part of your life. You should seek the face of God that your life will be a powerhouse of the Spirit of God that's living and dwelling within you. And you say, well, how are we going to know if the Spirit's in a person? Well, because they shake? Well, no, it might be Parkinson's. You say, well, because it's this or that, or because they speak in tongues? I've heard people speak in tongues that I don't feel were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in something. I don't think it was the heavenly language. But I've heard people speak in stuff that I don't think was the Holy Ghost moving at all. I think it was a holy habit or whatever they were into. And that's not to disparage speaking in tongues. But I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God comes to live in your heart, it's going to change your life. It's going to produce, and you heard the scriptures that I read to you, it's going to produce fruits that can be seen, can be heard, can be experienced. An experience with a Holy Spirit-filled person should be a person that's full of love and joy and peace and affection. A person that does not have all of those works of the flesh. The Spirit living in you becomes a lifestyle. It becomes your way of life. Now, I have to tell you, the modern day religion, we want to have a smattering of religion on Sunday morning, have the assurance that if we die, we're going to heaven, and pretty much do whatever we want to the rest of the week. It don't work that way, folks. And the Spirit of God is not going to live in you if you're living like a pig in a pig pen all week long and expect Him to live in you during that. He's not going to live with you. The Spirit of God is going to live with you when your house is clean and ready for Him to live in it. And by the way, you can't clean it up without Him. So it's a double-edged sword. You must have the Spirit to be able to get yourself in shape for the Spirit, but you cannot have the Spirit if you're serving the flesh also. Now, he's very clear about this all through the Scripture. And by the way, a fruitless Christian and a fruitless tree and a fruitless vine are under the curse of God. Everyone that does not bring forth good fruit is what? Hewn down? That is what it says, isn't it? Everyone that does not bring forth good fruit is hewn down. And what happens to them when they're hewn down? They're cast into the fire. That don't sound too good. Every limb, every branch on the vine that does not bring forth good fruit is what? Cut off and thrown into the fire. That doesn't sound too good. I don't like the sound of that at all. So what's going to happen? If the Spirit comes in my life, you hear me speak in tongues, that's wonderful. But you need to see something else. You need to see something besides me in church being happy when the music's good. You need to see something else in my life besides me getting happy and experienced religious ecstasy. What you need to see is me under fire, me in my real life, and the Holy Spirit in my life producing the fruits of the Spirit. And by the way, there is a law in nature. It's stated in Genesis chapter 1, I think, at least in Genesis chapter 2 also. And you know what that law of nature is? Every seed reproduces after its own kind. Now, if the Holy Spirit is living in me, if I am filled with the Holy Ghost, as we say, then what's going to happen? Then I'm going to be filled with the fruits of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be filled with what the Spirit of God will be doing and moving through me and what's going to happen. So, are there fruitless Christians? Well, if they are, they're not there for long. A fruitless Christian is a dead Christian. It's a Christian that's dying. Because if the Spirit is in you, He's going to be producing fruits of the Spirit. And I challenge you to go back to Galatians chapter 5 and read the fruits of the Spirit. Now, coupled with the second part of what we have today, what does America need? And you can find all kinds of answers for this, by the way. If you watch the news channels, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I don't know how they call it news. It's just people sitting around tables arguing about what goes on. I don't see how that's news. It's not particularly news. It's them arguing about the news. It's talking and it's wind and it's opinions. But as you listen to them talk, everybody knows what this country needs. And they were talking about it. There are people that says what this country needs is more socialist policies. They'll say what we need is to socialize medicine, socialize things, have and divide up all the wealth and give it to everybody. There are people who believe that and say that. There are just many people who believe what we need is more conservative policies, more, you know, hold things tighter and be more conservative in every way. Some people believe if we had a congressional overhaul, maybe that would straighten out the country. Couldn't hurt, I don't guess. And we believe maybe if we had a congressional overhaul. And I have to tell you, I don't trust either party that's in existence in this country to control the Congress. Because we've watched over the last 25 years as Democrats and Republicans have controlled the Congress and neither one's been able to do anything. So, when I look at this and I say, well, do we need a congressional overhaul? Well, probably we do. It probably wouldn't hurt to have term limits on senators and not be there forever and ever and ever, amen. It probably wouldn't hurt to have term limits on congressmen that would be there forever so that the people that are there would be in contact with the people. Maybe that's something. Some people say if we just had tax reform. And there are lots of ways to have tax reform. There are ways that taxes do not have to be nearly as complicated as they are today. And somebody asked me one time a few years ago, why didn't I do my own taxes? And I said, they said, well, you went to business school and all that. And I said, yeah. And anything I learned in business school was what Noah was ciphering with on the ark. It's been changed dozens of times since then. So would tax reform, if we suddenly reformed the tax system in the country, would that set the country straight? Some people think, well, what we need is a balanced budget. That would certainly set the country straight. And some people think, well, what we need is to spend more on public facilities and things to get money rolling. There's all kinds of that. There's people out there that's going to say, the thing that will straighten this country out is four more years of what we got. Shh. And then there's those out there who will say what we need is a Republican government and that certainly will straighten out the country. Well, I have to tell you, folks, there's some good ideas in all of that. Overhauling Congress is not a bad idea and changing people in the White House once in a while is not a bad idea. Redoing the tax code's not a bad idea. There are lots of good ideas. But I can tell you, all of those ideas together will not straighten out our country and give it what it needs. What our country needs, I submit to you today, is a Pentecostal experience. What our country needs is the Holy Spirit to move on it. It needs a moving of God's Spirit from border to border and from ocean to ocean to cover the land. Now, how are we going to get that? Well, I have to tell you, I don't think it starts at the top. We have come to a mindset that we want the government to do it. We want the government to educate us. We want the government to do this. We want the government to do that. We want the government to do something else. I'll tell you what. The change that we need for the Pentecostal experience to take hold of this country does not come from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or on the other end on Capitol Hill. The change that needs to come needs to start at the grassroots. We need Holy Spirit to move in every home. We need Holy Spirit-filled fathers and mothers. We need children who are taken to church and taught the gospel. We do not need to depend on the school system, much as I'm in favor of the Ten Commandments being posted. We do not need to depend on the school system to teach our children the principles of God and the Ten Commandments. My friend, that's your job. If you've got kids, you ought to be teaching the kids the school, the things. The school will take care of itself if you'll teach the kids. How about us send an army of Spirit-filled children and teenagers into the school system to infiltrate everything and to talk to the other kids and to bring them the things they need? How about us praying with our kids at home, reading the scriptures to our kids at home, taking our kids to church and Sunday school and youth activities? How about us at a grassroots level in America starting a revival that will shake everything from the foundation up? We need to start at the home. And then we need to start in the local churches. Local churches need to step up to the bat, step up to the plate, and take their turn. We need preachers in pulpits that will preach the gospel, stand on the word of God, and declare what it is. And we need to clean house at the seminaries that's teaching preacher boys and girls to come out and doubt the scripture and go against the word of God and be liberal. We need to change who we are and our method of doing. Starting at the home, starting and going to the local church and to our workplace. My friend, every one of us can get on where we need to be. Every one of us can move where we need to move at our workplace. Volvo needs people all in there who can take care of things. Celanese needs people all over the place who can take care of things. We need people who are able to take care of what's going on. We do not need to start in Washington and say, well, we need to start something in the Capitol and in the White House. Oh, it'd be wonderful. I'd love to find out that Mr. Obama was having a spiritual feast tomorrow evening at the White House. I'd love to find out that Franklin Graham was just preaching the fire out of him up there tomorrow evening, or John Hagee or somebody, or Eddie Kendall or somebody, or David Jeremiah or somebody. I would be delighted to find out that they were up there preaching. Amen? That'd be a wonderful thing. But that would not necessarily create a revival in America. What we need to do is start in our homes and our local church and work up. And if we infiltrate the whole country with the gospel of Christ and the Holy Ghost, it will change things. In fact is, if we have a Pentecostal experience, it will be a morally upright and uplifting experience. The Holy Spirit produces what kind of fruit? Good fruit. So if everybody in every church and everybody in every home and everybody in every workplace starts producing the good fruit of the Spirit, my friend, that's going to change everything that's going on. And it will send the devil packing on his way. Now, Satan is having a field day, folks. I guess the Lord let me find out accidentally. I don't fool with the computer much. I know what I'm doing with it. I can send my obituaries in. I can, you know, do things like that. But I don't fool with it much. And in looking up stuff, I discovered that there is available to anybody who gets on there, no matter what their age is, all kinds of trash and filth that nobody ought to have or ever see. I can tell you, it's just like this, folks. If everybody stopped drinking liquor, they'd close the liquor store. Amen? If everybody stopped buying dope on the street, they'd quit selling it. If everybody quit buying Playboy and Penthouse and all that kind of trash, and I don't mind if you tell them I said it was trash, and if everybody quit buying that, they'd quit printing it. They're not going to print what people don't buy. They're not going to sell what people won't have. They're not going to put online what people don't get online and look at. Amen? I mean, that's the way it is. So if we have a Holy Ghost outpouring of the Spirit, what's it going to do? It's going to send the devil's crowd packing. It's going to take them off the market. It's going to give them out. You know why the grocery stores used to not have beer in them? They used to not have wine in them. Now they have great sections of it in them. You know why? Because there was a demand for it. The minute that people quit doing that, when I worked for a store in Cincinnati, we used to have these buyers that come out and they get down on their floor in their $500 suits and put a tape measure on the floor, and they wanted to know how much money per square foot was made in that portion of the store. If you cut that off, it'll cut off the other. What we need is a Holy Ghost revival that will change who people are. I'll tell you something right now. If church members, people who belong to churches in the United States, would quit drinking today, the liquor and beer sales would go down so substantially that they'd have to close breweries and close distilleries. Do you know that? It's true. But, you know, we're in that day and time. And it will cause us to remember. The Holy Spirit comes, He does what? He causes you to remember. What does He cause you to remember? The words of Jesus. If we have a Holy Ghost grassroots revival that starts in the home, in the local church, and the workplace, and builds up, then people's minds are going to be turned not to Playboy or to whatever, but they're going to be turned to the Holy Scripture, and the Holy Spirit is going to bring to our remembrance the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to make us remember who we are and how we got here. And I can tell you, it will change our media, it will change our entertainment, it will change our music, and it will change our educational system. We'll no longer be telling kids in school that they came from monkeys, that they're cosmic accidents, that cosmic forces collided and cosmic chemical reactions happened and it all accidentally fell out and we became who we are and we come to be who we are. My friend, that stuff will be out of school tomorrow. If everybody in America, if the people from the grassroots would turn to God, I can tell you, brothers and sisters, you wouldn't have to post the Ten Commandments. We'd practice the Ten Commandments. We'd practice the Ten Commandments. And you say, well, what can we do? Well, I tell you, number one, you can live a godly life. That's the number one thing you can do. You live a life that would make Jesus proud of you as a citizen. Not that would make the president proud, but that would make Jesus proud of you as a citizen. And you pray for America, not just when you come here and I pray for America, but you pray for America. When you pray daily, and I trust you pray daily. If you don't pray daily, you need to check up on your Christianity. When you pray daily, you pray for America. You pray that God will bless this country. Don't say God bless America and just let it be a song or a saying. Let it be your prayer that God will bless America. And folks, be active in your country. Don't roll over and play dead. Don't just lay back and say, well, nothing I can do about it. I guess the end's just going to come. My friend, fight it. Fight it. You can vote. And let me tell you, if you don't vote, I don't want to hear a peep out of you. Not a peep. You can vote. You can vote and cast your vote on the right side. I'm not talking about any party. I'm talking about what's right. I don't care which party's doing it or not doing it. You can vote and cast your vote on the right side. You can cast it on moral issues and on spiritual issues. And we don't need to sit back and roll over and play dead like the puppy. We need to stand up. If you are not registered to vote, go get registered to vote, folks. And if you say he's up there getting out the vote, I'm getting out the Christian vote. I want people to go out and vote, and I want people to vote according to the Word of God. And I want you to be active in what goes on in your community. Hey, you can write letters to the editor, to the Roanoke Times, to the Virginian Leader, to whomever. And you say, well, I won't mouth to nothing. You'd be surprised how the letters that the editors get read. And they'll print you most of the time. They'll print you most of the time. And if you don't believe it, ask Johnny Kenny. He tries it almost every week. Every time there's something comes up, he tries it. And he gets some good stuff in. And I don't know if you read the gentleman over at Parrishburg, Dr. Somebody, he's a preacher and he has a radio program in Canada. And he wrote an article in the Virginian Leader the other week. I have to tell you, folks, they wouldn't print it in the Roanoke Times. But he made some good points. He made some of the most excellent points I've ever seen anybody make, and they were so good. And I just wish people would just cut it out and send it to the Roanoke Times and just bombard them with it till they have to print it. You say, can I be active? Yes, you can be active. My friend, this is our country that God gave us. Let us bring the power of the Holy Ghost through our prayers and through our actions to make this country be what God wants it to be. God bless America. God bless the people of America. And God bless America with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Father God, in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we come into your presence this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your love and for your mercies. And Father, we thank you for salvation and for redemption. And Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will be with us. And God, I pray for our country, the Lord, as I have this altar service this morning. Father, I pray for our country to come to prayer. I pray for our country to come to a realization that it's God that we need. It's the Spirit of God that we need moving. And Lord, I pray in Christ's holy name, Father, that you'll burn into the hearts of preachers across the country a message to bring ourselves out. Burn into the hearts of men and women. Lord, speak through the radio preachers and speak through the television preachers that reach the masses. Father, that somebody's heart will be touched and somebody's soul will be moved. Father, help us as a country to get our priorities straight. Help us to stand on the right side with Israel. Help us to learn to stand on the right side, Father, morally, that we will have leaders who do not get up and say it's all right to be homosexually married. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our people, Father, that they'll come to a great knowledge of the truth and repent of their sins. And Father, throw ashes in the air and sackcloth on our backs and humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Lord, I believe your word when you said that if your people would pray and humble themselves, that you would hear from heaven. And Father, that if we would stop our sinning, that you would listen to us. Oh God, convict us. Draw us to a place of repentance. Draw us to a place of coming to you. Heavenly Father, we humbly ask it all in Jesus' precious and eternal name. To God we give glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand, and if you need prayer, we'll certainly be glad to pray with you. And we're going to sing. You won't need a book for this one. You're going to be able to sing it, and I want you to sing it loud and sing it clear. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let's sing it. praise God for you being here today. It's next week that I'll be missing, so I will be teaching this Wednesday night, and we're doing our Pentecostal family tree, and we've got down to 1900. We came all the way from the Apostolic Church down to 1900 doing our Pentecostal family tree, and now it's going to get personal because it's going to eventually involve people that you know and things that you know about. So you want to come and be part of that. We'd certainly be glad to have you on Wednesday evening. There's also things for young people on Wednesday evening, so we'd be happy to have you come and share Wednesday evening with you, and then come back next Sunday, expecting God to move and great and wonderful things to be done. Have a great weekend with your family. Amen. Father, we love you today and thank you for your grace and mercy. Pray your Holy Spirit will touch us and bless us, and Father, anoint us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.